from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister asks Indonesia to promote sustainable palm oil. The IMF suggests Bank Indonesia's intervention to face pressure on global currency exchange. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah Wan Ismail in a bilateral meeting at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Tuesday, October 9, 2018, discussed an effort to promote sustainable palm oil businesses. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister, Retno Marsudi, who accompanied the President, said that Malaysian government had asked Indonesia to work together to promote sustainable palm oil industry to the world through Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, or CPOPC. The effort is done to counter negative issues on palm oil that happen to the two countries as the biggest palm oil producers in the world.
Disampaikan oleh Deputy Prime Minister adalah mengenai masalah.
The Deputy Prime Minister has earlier mentioned about palm oil. It means that both countries, like it or not, have to work together to promote the sustainable palm oil. And the President said okay, and this is good cooperation reflected in CPOPC. CPOPC is Organization of Palm Oil Producers, which members are Indonesia and Malaysia, and we work together through CPOPC. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi said that as Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad during his visit to Indonesia recently also revealed the same thing. Mahathir asked Indonesian government to fight the negative campaign against palm oil launched by the European Union. The European Union accuses that palm oil plantation causing environmental damage can stall the commodity export from Indonesia and Malaysia. According to Mahathir, the accuse was baseless and unproven. Retno added, besides palm oil commodity, Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah mentioned about terrorism termination by Intel Information Exchange. The Deputy Prime Minister has also promised to increase the security in her country's water territory with big and sophisticated patrol ship. This follows the kidnapping of two Indonesian citizens working in Malaysian fishing boats in Sabah waters, Malaysia, last month. Financial Counselor and Director of the Monetary and Capital Markets Department of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Tobias Adrian, stated that the international currency exchange rate, including the rupiah, are under pressure due to the strengthening of the United States dollar. In his presentation of the Global Financial Stability Report in Nusa Dua, Bali, Tobias said that nevertheless, the Indonesian government could overcome it by opening the door to wider foreign investment to enter Indonesia. In addition, according to him, the Central Bank of Indonesia or Bank Indonesia can also take intervention steps to ensure that liquidity remains stable.
So, because there's a current account deficit, Indonesia has to fund itself externally from international investors. That is why an exchange rate depreciation can be a shock absorber. And so that is actually a good thing in our advice. Now, of course, the Central Bank of Indonesia has also intervened in foreign exchange markets in order to make sure that liquidity conditions in the FX markets are orderly, and that is also very much consistent with the IMF advice on how to stabilize market financial conditions.
The Global Financial Stability Report, GFSR, in October 2018 found that global short-term risk to financial stability have increased, reflecting increasing pressure in developing countries and rising trade tensions. According to Tobias, this risk, although still moderate, can increase significantly. Intensification of concerns about emerging markets, a wider increase in trade tensions, the realization of political and policy uncertainty, or faster than expected tightening in monetary normalization can lead to sharp tightening in financial conditions. This, according to Tobias, increases the urgency for policymakers to increase efforts to improve the resilience of the financial system by completing the financial regulatory reform agenda and developing macroprudential policy tools. Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department of the International Monetary Fund, Victor Gaspar, encouraged Indonesia to increase investment in human resource development. He said this when delivering a fiscal supervision report on Wednesday in Nusa Dua, Bali. He said Indonesia had experienced significant progress in the last 50 years in terms of sustainable and inclusive development. This is evidenced by the increase in gross domestic product and other social indicators. To continue this positive growth, according to him, the Indonesian government, which is currently focusing on infrastructure development, requires a development strategy more focused on developing human resources.
Think about policy, fiscal policy, as a tool for sustainable and inclusive growth. Indonesia has recorded impressive progress in the last 50 years. This is testified by growth in GDP per capita, but also by a wide range of social indicators, including health and indicators like infant mortality, life expectancy, and much else. Going forward, continuation of progress requires a development strategy. In Indonesia, the emphasis is in investment in human, social, and physical capital.
Furthermore, Victor Gaspar said in an effort to support investment in infrastructure, human resources, education, and health, the Indonesian government needs a sustainable source of financing. According to him, it would be obtained if the Indonesian government was able to raise state income from the tax sector. The sector which, according to him, still gives low contributions to Indonesian economic growth. The Committee for the Acceleration of Provision of Priority Infrastructure, or KPPIP, said that 10 National Strategic Projects, or PSN, are to be completed by the end of this year. Chairman of the Executive Team of Committee, Wahyu Utomo, said if the target could come to reality, cumulatively, 40 national strategic projects would be completed in the period of 2016 to 2018. The Committee for the Acceleration of Provision of Priority Infrastructure, or KPPIP, also hopes to see that 66 strategic projects would be completed by the end of the third quarter of 2019, and 93 projects and 2 programs would come on stream with all projects under construction. Among the projects already completed in the January-October period of this year included Prabu Mulih Kertapati Railway projects and the Ragnamo Dam in East Nusa Tenggara province. Among projects already in operation, although not yet fully completed, include the Kertajati Airport, the Tanju Dam, the Gempol Pasuruan Toll Road, the West Package of Palapa Ring Telecommunications, the Bakauheni Temerbangi Besar Toll Road, and the Toll Road of Bogor Ring Road. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Laos Deputy Foreign Minister Kampau Ertahapan handed over $100,000 in aid from the Lao government to the victims of the earthquake and tsunami in central Sulawesi province. The assistance was handed over to the Indonesian ambassador to Laos, Pratito Suharyo, on October 8, 2018, at the Lao Foreign Ministry building. Ambassador Pratito Suharyo told RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in a special interview on Tuesday, October 9, that the Lao government expressed deep sympathy for the victims and natural disaster. This assistance is a tangible manifestation of the closeness of relations, friendship, and solidarity from Laos to Indonesia.
Ini bantuan yang ikhlas dan tulus dari pemerintah Laos.
This is a sincere assistance from the Lao government, one, as a fellow ASEAN country. Secondly, we have a very long history relationship. We may remember the Kingdom of Champa, and we always support each other, where our position in the global is both political and economic. There is a reciprocity. We never feel to owe from them, and so do they. So this is a feeling of concern and support. If one, for example, when our neighbor is in problems and disaster, we try to help with sincerity. Ambassador Pratito further explained that the Indonesian Embassy in Vientiane will immediately coordinate with 11 ministries and agencies so that the Lao government's assistance can be utilized as well as possible. According to him, the government of Laos has provided assistance two times for natural disasters in Indonesia, namely in 2005 for tsunami in Aceh, and in 2010 for natural disasters in Wasior, West Papua, Mentawa Islands in West Sumatra, and Mount Merapi in Central Java. Indonesia becomes a partner in the Luang Prabang Film Festival, scheduled to be held from December 7 until 12 in Luang Prabang, Laos. Indonesian Ambassador to Laos, Pratito, to Voice of Indonesia in a special interview on Tuesday, October 9, 2018, said that the theme to be raised in the 9th Film Festival is Indonesia. He also said that through this festival, Indonesia can open a new opportunity for Indonesian film industry in Laos. According to him, the international festival gives opportunity to introduce Indonesia to Laos and to the world. He added that the number of Laos people visiting Indonesia is still low, and vice versa.
Kali ini Indonesia yang diminta untuk menjadi salah satu.
This time, Indonesia is requested to be the only theme. So every films and everything that will be shown in the festival is about Indonesia. Ambassador Pratito further explained that every year Luang Prabang Festival raises different themes from different countries. The festival is held on the UNESCO World Heritage Site, Luang Prabang. The festival will feature movie screening, short film program, and public discussion featuring Indonesian film directors and film experts. Last year, the festival featured 32 big screens and was visited by 22,000 people. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi said that Indonesian women judo athlete Miftahul Jannah, that was disqualified from Asian Para Games 2018, was because she refused to take off her headscarf or hijab during the game. In a press conference held at the main press center of the Gelora Bung Karno Sports Stadium on Tuesday, October 9, 2018, Minister Imam Nahrawi stated that what has happened to Miftahul Jannah is purely an international rule, not discrimination or religious matters.
Mengagumi, menghargai, sekaligus mengapresiasi keputusan Miftahul Jannah yang pertama.
I do respect and admire Miftahul Jannah's decision by not taking off her hijab. She kept it even though she had known it earlier that she had to remove her hijab during the game, because according to the regulation, it could be dangerous for the athlete. On the other hand, regulation of the International Judo Federation has to be applied, no exception. This is the game. It is not a matter of different religion or anything, but it is purely the principles and regulation that have to be applied. Furthermore, Imam Nahrawi said that with the disqualification, it will be a homework for the International Judo Federation to find a breakthrough of hijab modification that can be used by the athletes. Imam also said that he will try to ask International Judo Federation to have flexible regulation, especially for Muslim athletes. And the last item, Asian Para Games 2018 has run for 4 days. One of the sports that has been competed is sitting volleyball. It is still in qualification match on the fourth day. In this qualification match, Indonesian women sitting volley team competed with Japan. The match was interesting. Even Indonesian team won the third match. But eventually, Indonesia have to admit Japanese strength with a score of 25-18, 25-7, 19-25 and 25-21. Japanese coach Mano Yoshihisa said after the match that he was enthusiastic to meet Indonesian team. He also gives special notes to one of Indonesian players. One of the players, Anissa, number 7, since the friendly match last May, has fought very hard to motivate other players to get extra points, and in my opinion, it is good. On the same occasion, the Japanese coach Mano Yoshihisa added that in the Asian Paragames 2018, Japan targeted to beat Iran that have beaten them in the previous match. For the next preparation, Mano said he always watches the opponents play through their video and then he prepares the strategy to face them. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister asked Indonesia to promote sustainable palm oil. IMF suggests by Indonesia's intervention to face pressure on global currency exchange. And listeners, that's the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Brazilian Presidential Election. Listener, Brazil is still on the democratic process to get a new president. The first round of the presidential election, which has taken place, still cannot determine who the president of Brazil is. None of the candidates who participated in the election received a majority votes of above 50%. Candidate President Jair Bolsonaro, for instance, although leading, still has not managed to collect votes beyond the threshold. Of the almost 99% of votes that have been entered, Jair Bolsonaro, a right-wing member of parliament, has only won 47%. In the second position was Fernando Haddad, a left-wing MP with 28% of the votes. Based on the results of the vote, Jair Bolsonaro and Fernando Haddad will advance to the second round. The first phase of the elections in Brazil is not only colored by the bustle of democracy, but also violence. Jair Bolsonaro, when campaigning, was stabbed and had to be hospitalized. The racist-leaning figure of parliament succeeded in advancing to the next round to get rid of other figures who got party support in parliament and got a large portion of coverage on television. Jair Bolsonaro successfully utilized social media, namely Twitter and Facebook, to influence his voters. Jair Bolsonaro spread his message and vision and mission with promises to end corruption, crime, and economic sluggishness. He also promised to restore the traditional value of his country. The effort and the way Jair Bolsonaro feels remind many people of what Donald Trump did when fighting to win the U.S. election. The slogans echoed by Jair Bolsonaro to restore Brazil's glory sound like what Trump said, make America great again. Even the racist-leaning approach is also taken by Jair Bolsonaro. However, the fate of Jair Bolsonaro, who in the first stage of the election won surprisingly, will still be determined in the second stage of the elections, which will be held on October the 28th. The majority of the Brazilian people will determine who is the future president who will be driving Brazil to a better future. And listeners, that's commentary. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with October the 10th, 1970, Fiji gains its independence. Fiji was discovered by Dutch explorer Abel Tasman when he tried to find the Great Southern Continent in 1643. However, it was not until the 19th century that Europeans arrived on this island to settle there permanently. The archipelago fell to the United Kingdom as a colony in 1874. On October the 10th, 1970, Fiji gained its independence. The democratic government experienced a breakdown in two military coups in 1987 due to concerns that the government at that time would be dominated by the Indo-Fijian community. After the second coup, the military government led by Sitiveni Rabuka declared Fiji a republic in 1987. The country's name was changed from Fiji Dominion, became Republic of Fiji, and changed again to the Republic of Fiji Islands in 1997. Turning now to October the 10th, 1992, the first World Mental Health Day. The World Health Organization commemorates World Mental Health on October the 10th each year with the aim of raising awareness about mental health and mobilizing businesses to support better mental health. This celebration was first initiated by the World Federation for Mental Health in 1992 with a mission to increase the knowledge, awareness, and advocacy of the entire world community about mental health. In Indonesia, World Mental Health Day was only established in 1993. The mission was to respect the rights of people with mental problems, expand prevention program for mental health problems, bring health access to the community, expand service coverage, and increase mental health efforts optimally. The last is from October the 10, 2007, the launch of Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor, the first Malaysian to space. Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor, the first Malaysian to go into space, was announced by Prime Minister Abdullah Badawi on September the 25, 2007. The rocket carrying Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor was launched from the Baikonur launch site in Kazakhstan on October the 10th, 2007. The rocket also carried a Russian astronaut and U.S. astronaut who will serve for 6 months at the International Space Station to replace two astronauts who will return to Earth with Shukor. The Malaysian astronaut slid into space in a Russian-made Soyuz rocket. Shukor's mission was agreed as part of a multi-billion dollar U.S. purchase of Russian-made jets by Malaysia. Shukor became the first Muslim to fly into space during the holy month of Ramadan and will be in space during Idul Fitri. So Shukor was at the station for 9 days. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on state-owned enterprises show their achievements through the Indonesian Pavilion at the IMF World Bank Group meeting. The beauty of Indonesia is shown to the delegates of the IMF World Bank Group 2018 International Monetary Fund Annual Meeting in Bali. The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, together with all state-owned companies, are ready to welcome around 34,000 participants through the Indonesian Pavilion there. The Indonesian Pavilion showcases the uniqueness of Indonesia in terms of development, business, national strategic projects, tourism, to the richness of cultural arts and typical Indonesian handicrafts. Not only that, various investment supporting factors that can attract investors to invest in Indonesia are also displayed in an exhibition space of more than 2,000 meters. Special staff of the state-owned enterprises minister Sahala Lumbangaul in a written statement in Jakarta on Monday said that the IMF World Bank Group 2018 annual meeting held in Nusa Dua, Bali from October the 8th to 14th, the Indonesian pavilion could be the first window for the members of the delegation who were present to get to know Indonesia briefly. Although brief, the information is enough to represent all the advantages, beauty, and uniqueness of Indonesia. Sahala Lumbangaul explained the contents of the Indonesian pavilion convey the message of Nawacita. There is Indonesia in numbers, which is meant so that the other people can rediscover Indonesia to see the progress of Indonesia's development that need to be highlighted. In this case, Indonesia's infrastructure development that once was very far backward, but now is extraordinary. Shown there is the success of infrastructure development such as highways, toll roads, airports to ports. The Indonesian Pavilion is divided into several thematic rooms such as state-owned enterprises hall, workshop area, exhibition area, VIP lounge, investment lounge, and state pavilion or coffee shop. Guests can go through each room that has its own uniqueness. The state-owned enterprises ministry is not alone. The making of the Indonesian Pavilion was also supported by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, the Creative Economy Agency, the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, and the Ministry of Finance. Sahala Lumbangaul added that in the Indonesian Pavilion, it was also shown that connectivity had been built in Indonesia, ranging from toll roads to seaports, handicrafts to the art, which is Indonesian wealth, all are exhibited at the international meeting. Around 150 micro, small, and medium enterprises from 64 district and city governments in Indonesia were also involved in the exhibition of their work. Batik demonstration, weaving, backcrafts, fans, masks, and other fruits and crafts are expected to be the main attraction to delegates. Delegates that can experience their own Indonesian crafting experience in the craft and art area. The Indonesian Pavilion was officially opened by the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Rini Sumarno, on Tuesday, October the 9th. Well, that was My Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Ani Hasana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah Wan Ismail in a bilateral meeting at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Tuesday, October 9, 2018, discussed an effort to promote sustainable palm oil business. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, who accompanied the President, said that Malaysian government had asked Indonesia to work together to promote sustainable palm oil industry to the world through Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, CPOPC. Financial Counselor and Director of the Monetary and Capital Markets Department of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Tobias Adrian, stated that the international currency exchange rate, including the rupiah, are under pressure due to the strengthening of the US dollar. Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department of the International Monetary Fund, Vitor Gaspar, encouraged Indonesia to increase investment in human resource development. Lao Deputy Foreign Minister Kampau R. Tahafan handed over $100,000 in aid from the Lao government to the victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Central Sulawesi Province. Indonesia becomes a partner in the Luang Prabang Film Festival, scheduled to be held from December 7 until 12 in Luang Prabang, Laos. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi said that Indonesian women judo athlete Miftahul Jannah, that was disqualified from Asian Paragames 2018, was because she refused to take off her headscarf or hijab during the game. And the last item, Asian Paragames 2018 has run for 4 days. One of the sports that has been competed is sitting volleyball. It is still in a qualification match on the fourth day. In this qualification match, Indonesian women sitting volleyball team competed with Japan. And listener, that's News in Brief. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you a typical food from Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through streaming at www.voinews.id or application RRI Play on your Android. Listeners, Lombok is an island which is visited by many tourists because the region offers amazing nature. Besides enjoying the natural tourism, Lombok culinary is also favorable for tourists. Besides being delicious, culinary in Lombok also serves dishes rich of nutrition. One of them is Tanjung Satay. Listeners, Tanjung Satay has savory and spicy taste. No wonder if the food becomes favorite food of North Lombok residents who love hot food. Tanjung Satay is different from general satay. Usually, satay uses chicken or goat meat and peanut or soy sauce. But Tanjung Satay uses tuna without sauce. Listeners, the ingredients to make Tanjung Satay are tuna, coconut milk, pepper, garlic, and spices. The cooking process is not difficult. Fresh tuna, which has been cut, is soaked into refined ingredients. After the seasoning becomes absorbed, tuna slices are stepped by using skewer and smeared with the ingredients before being roasted on fire. To roast the satay does not need long time. It takes only several minutes and then Tanjung Satay is ready to be served. The satay has soft texture when being chewed. It has spicy, savory, and also its spicy aroma increases the delicacy of the culinary. Listeners, Tanjung Satay can be enjoyed deliciously when it is still warm. This satay, which is only suitable to be dished, is sold along Tanjung Village, Tanjung District, North Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. Its price, which is offered to taste this satay, is quite cheap. You only pay 1,000 rupiah per skewer. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tanjung Satay. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome to Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI's foreign broadcasting station, and the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture's Language Development and Development Agency. Today's topic is jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami, or in English, the number of earthquake and tsunami victims. Next, I will give you a sample conversation on jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami, or in English, the number of earthquake and tsunami victims. Characters, Tony and Endah. Setting, Joko's house. Situation, Endah and Tony are talking about the number of victims in the news.
Korban gempa dan tsunami ini banyak sekali.
Oh ya? Berapa orang yang meninggal?
Lebih dari 1.200 orang.
Ya Tuhan.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami. Jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami, which means the number of earthquake and tsunami victims. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Berapa? Berapa? Which means how many? Korban. Korban, which means victim. Meninggal. Meninggal, which means to die. Lebih dari. Lebih dari, which means more than. Korban gempa dan tsunami ini banyak sekali. Korban gempa dan tsunami ini banyak sekali, which means the earthquake and tsunami victims are numerous. Berapa orang yang meninggal? Berapa orang yang meninggal? Which means how many people died? Lebih dari 1.200 orang. Lebih dari 1.200 orang. Which means more than 1,200 people. Ya Tuhan. Ya Tuhan, which means oh my God. When you ask about the amount, the question used is berapa. Berapa, which means how many or how much. For example, to find out the number of victims in a disaster, you can say berapa orang yang meninggal. Berapa orang yang meninggal, which means how many people died. Berapa orang yang selamat. Berapa orang yang selamat, which means how many people survived. To answer these questions, if the number you mean is more than the number mentioned, you can use lebih dari. Lebih dari, which means more than. For example, lebih dari 1.200 orang meninggal. Lebih dari 1.200 orang meninggal. Or korban yang meninggal lebih dari 1.200 orang. Korban yang meninggal lebih dari 1.200 orang, which means more than 1,200 people died. If the number in question is less than the number stated, you can use kurang dari. Kurang dari, which means less than. For example, korban yang meninggal kurang dari 10 orang. Korban yang meninggal kurang dari 10 orang, which means the death toll is less than 10 people. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Korban gempa dan tsunami ini banyak sekali.
Oh ya? Berapa orang yang meninggal?
Lebih dari 1.200 orang.
Ya Tuhan.
After listening to the above conversation about jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami, jumlah korban gempa dan tsunami, which means the number of earthquake and tsunami victims, I will give you some exercise, which of course related to the words you have learned so far. It is to describe tourist attractions in your city and your feelings when you are there. Example, di kota kami ada tempat wisata yang bernama Pantai Ancol. Kami sangat senang di pantai ini karena bisa berenang, bermain pasir, naik perahu, juga berjemur di pinggir pantai. That was today's edition of Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. As an exercise, send your voice recordings in Indonesia to this email address at voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. There will be a gift in the form of an attractive package for lucky listeners whose name to be announced in November 2018. We'll meet tomorrow with a different topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present the songs from Maudy Ayunda. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Prahu Kertas by Maudy Ayunda. Happy listening.
Perahu kertasku kan melaju, membawa surat cinta bagimu. Kata-kata yang sedikit gila, tapi ini adanya. Perahu kertas mengingatkanku betapa ajaib hidup. Cari-cari tambatan hati, kau sahabatku sendiri. Hidupkan lagi mimpi-mimpi, cita-cita yang lama ku pendam sendiri. Berdua bisa percaya.
That was the song entitled Prahu Kertas sung by Maudy Ayunda. Before being a singer, Maudy Ayunda has tried her capability in the Indonesian entertainment world as an actress. She started to play the movie Untuk Rena in 2005. Through the film, Maudy Ayunda got the title of the best female actress at the 2006 Indonesian Film Festival. Then, in the film entitled Prahu Kertas, released in 2012, Maudy Ayunda not only showed her acting talent, but also became a movie soundtrack. The song entitled Prahu Kertas and Tahu Diri has managed the name of Maudy Ayunda popular not only as an actress, but also as a singer. Although she has started to release an album entitled Panggil Aku in 2011. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tiba-Tiba Cinta Datang from the album Panggil Aku by Maudy Ayunda. Let's enjoy the song.
Tiba-tiba cinta datang kepadaku saat ku mulai mencari cinta. Tiba-tiba cinta datang kepadaku, ku harap dia rasakan yang sama.
Cinta, di keramaian, ku merasa sepi saat tak.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Tiba-Tiba Cinta Datang by Maudy Ayunda. Through her voice and songs, Maudy Ayunda has a good response from Indonesian music lovers. Not only soundtrack film Perahu Kertas, Maudy Ayunda has also released various singles and two new albums. Her nice voice is really liked by music lovers in Indonesia. Moreover, Maudy Ayunda was chosen to dub in an animated film worked by the nation's filmmakers entitled Battle of Surabaya. Although quite successful both in acting and singing career, Maudy Ayunda did not leave her education. Since September 2013, Maudy Ayunda takes her study in politics, philosophy, and economy at Oxford University in England. This shows that popularity is not everything to the girl as much as Maudy Ayunda. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cinta Datang Terlambat and Jakarta Ramai by Maudy Ayunda. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Ku mengerti mengapa begini. Waktu dulu ku tak pernah merindu, tapi saat semuanya berubah, kau jauh dariku, pergi tinggal. Mungkin memang ku cinta, mungkin memang ku sesali, pernah tak hiraukan rasamu dulu. Aku hanya ingkari kata hatiku saja, tapi mengapa cinta datang terlambat? Mungkin memang ku cinta. cinta datang terlambat.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.